there were some discussions ongoing, and maybe somebody's, maybe we ought to go on the record.
I think everybody's muted. Oh, there we go.
Okay, we are recording again. It's 2 o'clock, an hour later than the appointed time that we agreed to start. As I was saying earlier, we've delayed the beginning of the afternoon presentation of testimony because of some ongoing discussions, possibly about a, I guess I suspect some kind of settlement. And is there somebody prepared to report this here?
Mr. Director, I'll take a crack at it to begin with. Thank you, Mr. Director, and really, you're correct. There's been some discussions that have gone on. And we're not prepared yet to indicate what those would be or if a settlement has even been reached. But there are certain terms and conditions that need to be confirmed and or sought out or verified, and we need the afternoon to do that. And for that reason, we are here asking that this be continued till tomorrow morning at 9. And the reason I say 9 instead of 8:30 is because we could be scrambling tomorrow morning to get some of this. And if it pleases the director and council, that's, I think, where we're standing. We are, I will say, we are negotiating in good faith. Obviously, there are a lot of issues here, a lot of different parties, and so this is not an easy task. Oh, I'm sorry. Although Mr. Schoen wants to testify, and we certainly have no objection to that.
Mr. Burke, do you have something to add?
I would just want to express my agreement with Mr. Rigby, as rare as that is. But today we do agree that the status of where we're at. We do think there's prospects for a resolution, and we're hoping to. But we need some more time to discuss.
Thank you, Mr. Barker. Anybody else? Okay, I'm inclined to grant the continuance, reminding everybody that we also have a Saturday scheduled should this fall apart. So I have another day we can replace the afternoon with. And next week, of course. All right, so I will grant the continuance until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, but before we do, Mr. Schoen, do you wish to testify?
I think, well, you know, I let me come to the podium.
I have some questions. I'm coming to the podium so that I can be heard by everybody rather than standing in the corner, because I know from having watched on the screen, it's very hard to hear anybody that's standing in the back of the room. So I'm just trying to be respectful of the people who are listening in.
I just want to ensure that you're not testifying, because I need to swear you may not
be hit. I understood. Okay. So I have remarks that I prepared. I'm not an attorney. I'm here representing my own interests, which I feel I have a right to do in a process like this. I don't know if it makes sense to testify, because I don't know what the terms of this are going to be, but I drive 2.5 hours each way to get here and want to know, many of us who are going to go home tonight are going to want to know whether they should be back here at 9 o'clock in the morning or not. That's the first thing. My testimony may, I don't know what my own role in this will be as a participant. It's not clear to me if I'm scheduled to speak. All I know is that today was set aside for people in Party 1 to speak, and yet, we didn't even get through yesterday's work until noon. And so, because the schedule is not well-defined and we don't know who gets to do what when, it just makes it harder for us who have other commitments and obligations, notwithstanding our recognition of the importance of this. So I'm wondering if you could just speak to what your outlook is for how this is going to proceed.
I'm not not sure I have an outlook other than I've reserved a number of additional days for testimony. That's my outlook. Should I express optimism or pessimism? I don't know. I don't know enough about what's being discussed. So the best I can tell you is if you wish to present your testimony today, I'd encourage you to present it, or you can wait.
I think I'll go ahead and present my testimony if it's okay with you. I think some of what it has to say has a bearing on what these folks are going to negotiate, because my testimony has to do with the principles of this whole proceeding.
Okay, and I assume you'll narrate your testimony.
I will, and you know, this isn't obviously there's some qualities of a courtroom style proceeding here, you know, with objections and sustain and overrule and all that sort of thing. But I'm speaking on my own behalf to defend my rights, and you'll have to guide me because I've never participated in a proceeding like this. If I get out of line. I'm very comfortable standing here, if that's okay with you.
That's fine. Shilin, if you'll raise your right hand. Do you solemnly attest that the testimony you give today will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, my name is Lawrence Schoen, L-A-W-R-E-N-C-E, last name spelled S-C-H-O-E-N. This is the testimony I had intended to give today. Despite the fact that, you know, there are some other developments as have been noted, I'm just going to give it as I had intended to. The first thing I want to do is thank the director for this process, and I particularly want to thank the staff who put in a lot of work for us to get here. Some of these folks gave depositions, and then they were questioned and asked the same questions repeatedly, and they stood up to it extremely well, and I'm very grateful to them. I own 306 acres adjacent to the Silver Creek Reserve. A tributary to Silver Creek flows through my property. My water rights are water right 37-351B and 37-352B. I irrigate a grand total of, I'm authorized to irrigate a grand total of 14.4 acres. So this isn't about the money to me. I raise horse hay and pasture on that land, but this is about the principle of how water rights are administered, not just in Basin 37, but in the state of Idaho. I also, my land is classified by the Blaine County Assessor as sub-irrigated, but that sub-irrigated land is turning into dry land. And the reason that is happening is because the water table in the Wood River Aquifer is being drawn down so dramatically, and that's from years of unregulated groundwater pumping and drought conditions that have existed since, you know, for quite a few years. I was a county commissioner in Blaine County for 12 years. From the time I became county commissioner, I've worked closely with the Department of Water Resources on helping us to get to this point where we can have a good understanding of water rights in our basin. And I believe that I served as a county commissioner to ensure the participation of many people in Blaine County in this process. My work with the department goes back to Director Tuthill. I worked with you, Director Spackman, in an official capacity, and Tim Luke and Sean Vincent and a number of other people in the Department of Water Resources, not to mention the U.S. Geological Survey. Blaine County has been very forward in studying the water and the hydrology and the hydrogeology, hydrogeomorphology of Blaine County's water resources. We sponsored four studies by USGS. Each one of those studies successively drew on the work done before. And there is still work to be done, but we have a very good understanding of our aquifer and the water resources in it. And one other thing I want to say about that is when I worked with Director Tuthill, one of the expressions that both of us use continuously is that water use and land use are two sides of a coin. and I understand all too well the consequences of changes in patterns of water use on land use and what that means. This is not just about the impacts on individual farmers, but it's about the impacts on an entire community. So I'm very well aware of the stakes here. No one is here to harm anybody else. These folks, I mean, there's a lot of lawyers in the room, but they represent friends and neighbors of mine. You know, this issue to me is very simple. Despite, Mr. Director, the efforts of some to persuade you otherwise, and I believe the resolution to this issue is very simple too if you follow the science, if you follow the law, and you follow the Constitution of the State of Idaho and the United States, which guarantees equal protection under the law. You know, I'm very grateful for the advisory committee meetings that we had beginning in November, but no results were achieved. I was wondering if I could ask Megan to put up the first photo that I sent to her. I have three photos that I'd like to share as part of my testimony that's without objection.
Director, if I could ask a question just in aid of clarification. Mr. Schoen, were any of these disclosed as exhibits at the exhibit deadline? I haven't seen them. It's just
they weren't. I took them yesterday. And if there is an objection and I'm not allowed by the rules of procedure to present them, that's fine. I can describe them. I'm simply trying to give a visual aid to illustrate my point. But, you know, you guys know the hearing rules better than I do.
It might just be helpful to see them.
If we could
just look at them.
Okay. Well, once they're seen, can't be unseen, right? You know that, right?
But well, they're not part of the evidence.
Yeah, they necessarily wouldn't go into the record.
Okay.
Well, let's at least approach it from the standpoint of these photographs or images being presented for illustrative purposes. And he'll have to move if he wants to.
They don't necessarily need to be. They're just a visual aid for my testimony. I don't need them to be entered into the record. If that's
there for illustrative purposes, Director, I'm fine with that.
Okay. Talk slower? I'm from New York originally. I can't help myself.
I'm just saying.
He's talking loud.
I took care of things.
It's a lot of information.
What's the self-effacing comment?
I asked him to speak a little slower.
Oh. You're all like the rest of us.
Yeah. you know, okay, so that's good enough, Megan. You know, so the picture is a picture of, so my, I was shut off last week, and the ditch rider, and my water rights are 1886 and 1887. The water master came by my house and told, I spoke to him on Friday, and he told me that the water rights in Silver Creek were shut off back to 1884. This is across the road from me. This is a well that is pumping as we speak with a water right 94 years junior to mine that is pumping right now. I apologize for my cynicism about this, but as I was saying, the advisory committee meetings didn't accomplish anything, and now we're in another hearing that was extended before it even began. I feel, you know, it's a legitimate question. Are our partners in this acting in good faith or not? Why? This is the evidence that I introduce, or whether it's the photograph or just my statement, that groundwater users are continuing to pump while surface water users who are 100 years senior are being curtailed. And all I am asking is that everybody be treated the same. We have a priority doctrine in the state of Idaho. I don't know why we're not following it. I would ask the director to direct legal staff to begin drafting an order stating that all water users in Basin 37 shall be treated equally under the law. Whether we pump or whether we don't pump, that's up to you. But I'm saying that let's treat each other the same. That's where I'm having a problem with the negotiation that is going on, because it's, from what I know of it, I'm not sure that it's going to accomplish that. The issue that we, and the reason I say this is because the issue that we face is very simple. Silver Creek is a spring-fed system. The primary water source is the Wood River Aquifer. I could have questioned Mr. Luke on this, but I didn't need to. It's all in the record. The headwaters come right up out of the ground. The groundwater is the source, and the groundwater is the water that is flowing in the surface of Silver Creek and all the tributaries. Every study acknowledges this fact. The earliest basin hydrologic study that I found dates to 1950, and the earliest specifically describing the ground and surface water connections dates to 1972. That's 50 years ago. There's no contradiction of these basic facts. The study, all the staff memos cite all the studies, and the studies within the staff memos cite all the studies that all uphold this basic idea of the groundwater feeding Silver Creek, and it's all one water source. It's plainly obvious then that groundwater pumping depletes the aquifer this year and every year, and that depletes surface flows. By depleting the aquifer, you diminish the surface flows in the Silver Creek system. That's how simple this is. You have to think of this as not just a year-by-year thing, it's a cumulative effect. So Megan, if you could put up the next picture, photo two, again to illustrate. No, that might be it. If you zoom out, okay. That's a photo, you can leave it there, that's fine. This is a picture taken from the Starker Creek Bridge yesterday. It has never been this low in anybody's lifetime that I know of, that I've spoken with. You can see the exposed mud that's never been exposed in the 30 years that I've lived there. You can see the typical watermark. In the springtime, the water is up above that little dock. Now you can see where it is. And here we are, the 1st of June. This is the earliest my water rights have been shut off, but I want you to see what Starker Creek looks like right now. Starker Creek is one of the three main tributaries of the Silver Creek system. Could you go to the next photo, please, Megan? Okay, that's good. This is a tap at the corner of Highway 20 and Starker Creek Road. I have lived in my location for 30 years. For the first 25 years, that tap flowed continuously. It no longer flows. That is because the aquifer has been depleted. Thank you, Megan. That's all with the photos. So, I want to say to you again, Mr. Director, the decision here is very clear, it's very simple, and it's very obvious. And no amount of obfuscation of the facts or doubts cast upon percentages of uncertainty should turn you from this basic conclusion. I implore you not to be led astray for the elegant simplicity of the solution to this problem. I mentioned my sense that a lot of issues have been brought up, a lot of doubt has been cast on the facts, on what is best available science, on the accuracy of the groundwater flow model, on arcane information about American Falls water. We've even had the honesty of the downbasin users impugned. We've discussed uncertainty over uncertainty, data gaps, staff credibility, and whether this process is the best process or another process is best. I just come back to the fundamental idea here is that the groundwater and the surface water are one and the same water source here, and they should be managed on a continuum according to priority doctrine. I want to address a couple of details that have came out in the advisory committee meetings and probably will in the hearings. It's been stated that Alan Wiley's 2019 A report, Alan Wiley, staff for IDWR, who has put transducers in some of the wells, groundwater table has stabilized. and his report's been quoted. The quote that's been given is, "These maps indicate that the groundwater flows from the north to the south and out the basin to the east and the west. The water table contours also show that the water table tends to be stable within the Wood River Valley portion of the Bigwood groundwater management area." That's the quote that's been given. The part that hasn't been given is the second sentence of that paragraph, which reads, "This may be because the Bigwood River is in direct hydraulic communication with the unconfined aquifer, and the river is depleted to sustain the unconfined aquifer." In other words, as the aquifer is drawn down, more water falls out of the river and into the aquifer, stabilizing the aquifer, but further depleting flows in the surface flows. I want to address another issue, this question that was raised in the Brockway exhibit that was submitted that talks about, you know, the location of certain wells and that they're in the unconfined, or they're in the confined aquifer, and so don't have an impact on surface flows. Jennifer Succo was asked about this yesterday. Her opinion yesterday was that, you know, there is connection between the confined and the unconfined, and so the statement that drawing from the unconfined aquifer would not impact the aquifer itself and therefore surface flows, she did not agree with. That is, that was taken into...
I object to this line of testimony, I guess. Paraphrasing what Ms. Succo's already said, that's in the record. We don't need somebody to tell us what she said. If Mr. Schoen has information on that point, that's his own personal knowledge. We can hear that, but we don't need to go back and forth on what the staff's already testified to.
It's funny because I heard lawyers, you know, quoting from other people's testimony when they were asking questions. I guess they can do it, but I can't.
Well, I don't think that would be the basis, Mr. Thompson, for ruling on your objection. In fact, it persuades me to go the other direction, that kind of response. Mr. Schoen, the difficulty I'm having is that you are presenting what I would characterize as oral argument rather than facts that you know. So I'll overrule the objection. But I want you to focus on facts that you know. And I think that's, you know, your testimony about your observations there on Stocker Creek and whether a particular tap or a pipe is free flowing mm-hmm. or not flowing. I think those are very important facts.
Okay. Okay. Well, I respect that, sir. I will tell you that having sat through many years of presentations from the USGS and IDWR about this fact, I feel fairly well informed. I feel as well informed as Mr. Thompson on the matter. I'm not an expert in it. I don't have a PhD in it, but I've heard it time and time and time again from the experts. And I do know a fact that if you put a straw in a cup, no matter how many twists and turns and convolutions that are in the cup, if you draw from that straw, it's going to draw down the water level in the cup. That's a fact that I know. And it's the same thing with our aquifer. And it's all in the record. It's all in the record. It's in the staff memos. It's in the studies that are cited by the staff memos. And it's in the studies cited in the staff memos in their footnotes to the previous studies that go back 50 to 60 years. I just want to make the following statement. I support the extent of the curtailment area for this year alone. These are mostly ag areas, and these are the areas that have the biggest impact on groundwater in the Silver Creek drainage. I want to state that I support the director's action pertaining to the 2021 irrigation season under 42-237A, paragraph G. A water call at this point accomplishes nothing, and if, you know, my earlier statements are, you know, I don't want to delay this any further. I want us to get to a decision as quickly as possible because I think that's what's called for here as a matter of fairness, if not the law, and fairness, if not the law. So, in conclusion, I'm asking you to do two things. I'm asking you to issue an order either halting groundwater pumping or allowing seniors to continue to pump pending your decision on curtailment. I ask this so that all of us may be treated the same. I think this would go a long way towards reducing the resentments and healing the rift between all of us using water, the limited water that we have in Basin 37. After that, once these hearings are complete, I would ask you to make a decision on curtailment that treats water users fairly and equally under the law and the Constitution, that honors the foundational principles of first in time, first in right, that acknowledges that we have limited water resources according to the well-established science of our basin's aquifer system. I'm also suggesting that you consider creating a new doctrine, call it the Silver Creek Rule, that recognizes that where you have one water source, but the water may take longer than some period of time, I've heard 24 hours is the rule, may take longer than 24 hours to show up, but it does show up, that it will be managed as one resource. You know, I don't know that anybody studied how long it takes a molecule of water to get from North Fork of the Big Wood River to the Glendale Bridge. There's this presumption that somehow, you know, if you draw from the aquifer via a well in the Bellevue Triangle at a certain point, that it takes some unspecified time. This is not the Eastern Snake Plain Aquifer. We have a groundwater flow model that we can use. But, you know, anecdotally, however you want to describe it, we all know that when the pump, for example, when the pumps go off to cut hay, the water table comes up. I see it on that tap that I showed in the photo. I see it in my creek that flows through my property. These are things that I know, that I have observed. There is an almost immediate impact to groundwater extraction and the cessation of groundwater extraction. And I qualify that by saying now that the aquifer is so low that that impact is becoming muffled. It's becoming less obvious. The aquifer is now so low that these effects, that the return of surface flows with the curtailment of, with the cessation of pumping, the immediate cessation of pumping, is becoming harder and harder to distinguish. And that speaks to the cumulative effects of allowing unlimited groundwater extraction by groundwater pumpers through the entirety of the season. It is having a long-term deleterious effect on our aquifer and on surface flows in Silver Creek. And last thing I want to say is, even a 1932 surface right is senior to a groundwater right. Thank you, Mr. Director. I don't know if I need to stand for questions or anything.
You're subject to examination, and I'd like you to take the chair if you would, sir. Participants can examine you. How do we want to structure this examination? Should we follow the same order we followed previously?
Fine.
Seems to make sense. And those who may be adversarial to Mr. Schoen's position, I don't know, can then cross-examine. So, Ms. Carter, any questions for Mr. Schoen?
I don't have any questions for Mr. Schoen.
Mr. Fletcher?
No questions.
Mr. Rigby stepped out, and his companion. Very well. We'll come back.
Hi, Mr. Schoen, Travis Thompson for the South Valley Groundwater District. And that comment earlier wasn't meant to be flippant. It was just getting to the point of providing testimony on things to your personal knowledge and not paraphrasing the staff reports that are in the record.
Understood.
Thank you. You have two water rights, is that correct?
Correct.
And one 37-351B, is that an 1886 priority?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. June of 86.
And 0.16 CFS,
correct.
Authorized for irrigation of 14 acres.
Well, there's two water rights that combined equal 14.4 acres. So there's also an 1887 right.
And that would be 37-352B.
Correct.
And those two water rights have the source as groundwater, is that correct?
It's a surface right. It's managed as a surface right. When the pump was installed, for just simply, I asked for it, whether I could take it from groundwater just for simplicity's sake, but it is a surface right, and it's managed as a surface right because the source is groundwater, and it's in the unconfined aquifer.
Your priority is managed together with other priorities on Silver Creek, is that
correct?
True? But the source on your water right states groundwater, is
correct.
That correct?
I'm not in the groundwater district. However, I opted out of the groundwater district, and that request was granted.
I understand that, but you understand that your water right says it's groundwater?
I do understand.
Okay. And do you accept, as far as projected impacts on Silver Creek from groundwater pumping, whether there's curtailment of groundwater rights this season in July or August, and the resulting impacts of that curtailment, do you accept the department's reports as to where that water would show up and when?
I can't answer that question, because I haven't read through it thoroughly enough to give you an informed answer to the question. I believe that if groundwater pumping is curtailed in the Silver Creek drainage, that it will have both short and long-term positive impacts both on the aquifer and on surface flows in Silver Creek.
And as for the 2021 irrigation season, do you know if your water rights will be restored or not?
I can't say, but you know, it's interesting, Mr. Thompson, that you would ask me that question, because one of the other attorneys working for the groundwater districts was questioning the idea that, you know, if I think it was questioning of Mr. Luke saying.
I'm asking you.
I know, but I'm answering you. My answer is that saying that less senior rights that would normally be curtailed somehow don't suffer injury because they're less senior rights is a non-starter with me, because those rights are still senior to the junior groundwater rights. And so just saying that because I would normally be curtailed, and I am every year, I'm curtailed typically around the end of June, the 1st of July, and with an 86 and an 87 right, just because I would be curtailed doesn't mean I should be curtailed if all water rights are managed on a priority, according to priority doctrine. And so this question of how we're asked to come in here and determine our injury, I know this may be extending beyond the scope of your question, but to me that's a really problematic question, and that's a really problematic line of inquiry as to what the outcome of this proceeding ought to be. Because how do we determine injury when we've been curtailed all these years and cumulative extraction?
I'm going to object to the witness just knowing, I don't know exactly what he's doing, but I think Mr. Thompson had a question.
I answered it.
And I'm not sure it was answered, but.
I'll just ask it again. I don't think I did get it answered.
Well, Ms. McHugh, I think it's the responsibility of the attorney who's cross-examining to govern the way in which the witness is responding. So I'll overrule the objection.
Okay.
Do you know if your water rights will come back on if groundwater rights are curtailed in July or August this year?
I would have no idea.
Okay. And you haven't reviewed the staff reports to determine whether or not that would be the case?
I have reviewed the staff reports to the extent of Ms. Succo's memo talking about the gross amounts of water that would return, how the water master would make decisions as to whether my rights would be included in that amount or not. I don't know that analysis has been done yet, but if it has and it's in the reports, I haven't seen it.
Okay. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Chair, I'll circle back to you. Do you have any questions?
No, Mr. Director. Thank you.
Okay. I don't have it. No, Mr. Merrill. I think that's group one, group two, group three. Anybody? Any takers?
As tempting as it might be, no thanks.
Evan?
No.
Mr. O'Bannon back there. Okay.
You didn't say Mr. Simpson.
Well, I looked at him and he was shaking his head.
Thank you, Mr. Richard.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Shulman.
Thank you, Mr. Director.
Okay, so at this juncture then, we'll adjourn for today and reconvene at 9 in the morning here again. Any other comments before we close the record for today? Close the record is in interrupt. All right. We'll see everybody at 9 in the morning.
Thank you, Mr. Director.